Begin the current daf. Masechet is Gittin, daf nun vav. Begin on the bottom of daf nun hey mebeis, 8 lines off in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had mentioned in the Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is the halachas of sikrukin, because it was a concept of tikkun olam, which is that there are situations when a non-Jew forces a Jew because he's going to kill him, so he gives him his land. So on that, the Gemara had explained that there were certain periods, which the Mishnah had mentioned this about, that there was no din of sikrukin by harugim lachama, but from that point onwards, there was the halach of sikrukin, which means to say, at certain times, there were three different levels of gezeris that there were at the time of the war of Titus, which is what our Gemara is going to continue on that theme, regarding the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when Titus came and besieged Yerushalayim, and then destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So there were the first two periods were when times when people were willingly giving away their land. There's no halacha sikrukin. Someone that buys from that non-Jew could keep it because he was willingly giving it away to lieu of his oven, and he's happy that he's alive. But by the third one, we see the third level of gezeira, where if anyone kills a Jew, he gets killed himself. So the Jew says, okay, this guy's a strong type of a guy. I'm going to let him take my land, but I'll bring him to court at a later point in time, and I'll get it back. So if a Jew buys from that non-Jew, that's where the halacha of sikrukin came in, that he would have to give it back to that original Jew. Now, on that, the Gemara continues regarding, these are the Gemaras that are, for the next two dafim that are commonly learned on Tisha B'Av, they're the Gemaras that speak about the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara continues and says, Amar B'Yechanan, he says, Ma'idich Sev, what does it mean the Pasuk of Mishlei that says, Ashri Adam Mefachei Tamid, praiseworthy is the person that's constantly in fear. In other words, that he's worried to, like the Mishnah Abba says, Ezu Chacham Arois Anoilid, who's a smart person who sees the consequences, what's going to be the manifestation. In other words, that what shouldn't happen, if I'm going to do this, I have to realize that that's going to be the consequence. So that's what the Pasuk is saying, that praiseworthy is someone that's constantly afraid, he's always calculating to see what's going to be the outcome of what he does. Whereas Umak Shalibo Yipobara, but someone that hardens his heart and he doesn't think about the consequences, he will fall into evil. What's that a reference to? So that's a reference to the topic we're going to be discussing. For example, a Kamtza or Bar Kamtza, the incident that happens with what's commonly known as the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Because of those two, Charb Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim was destroyed. So too, another incident was our Tana Gaila v'Tana Gulta, because of a rooster and a hen, Charb Tur Malka, which is the other way, Aramaic, of saying Har HaMelech, which was another place, that because of that, that city was destroyed. And also Ashoka Derispak, because of the door of a carriage that carries women, Charev Beitar, the city of Beitar was destroyed. Now that's why, as Taisa explains, that these three different incidents are illustrative of this concept where the Jewish people at that time were overly confident about their peace and about their status and their situation, and therefore they weren't afraid to embarrass Bar Kamtza, to stand up and fight against the daughter of the Caesar, and they should have been afraid and worried about what the consequences are going to be. That's what the Pasuk is saying, that Ashri Adam Mefachei Tamid, it's good for a person to calculate, not just to be afraid, as actually Taisus brings from the Gemara and Brachas, that if someone's just afraid, he's a sinner. But afraid meaning to see about calculate what is going to be the consequences of my actions, that's a good thing. And that's a reference to these different incidents when they weren't, and because of that, the Churban Beis HaMikdash happened, and all these other great cities were destroyed. Again, that's why we're bringing it over here, because of that, the Churban Beis HaMikdash was through Titus that we mentioned, that was the concept about the different phases when there was Sikrukin and when there wasn't the Tikkun Olam of Sikrukin. So the Gemara explains, what are these three different incidents? So our daf is going to be discussing the first one, of Kamtza Ubar Kamtza Chob Yerushalayim, that because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, which were two different the names of two different Jews, Yerushalayim was destroyed, which is commonly known that the Churban Beis HaMikdash of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is the one that we're talking about with Titus, was because of sinas chinam, baseless hatred. As the Gemara brings the incident, that who gavra derachme kamtza, there was a certain person, he had a good friend Kamtza. Ubal devave Bar Kamtza, his enemy, very similar name, was Bar Kamtza. Avetzudasa, now he made a party. Amale Lishame, so he said to his attendant, Zil Isle Kamtza, bring my friend Kamtza to the party. Azal Isle Bar Kamtza. And he went and he brought Bar Kamtza instead. So Asa Ashkeche Dehava Yosef, so this guy goes and he sees that, look who's sitting there by his party, it's his enemy. So Amale tells him, Mechti, let's see. Hu Gavra Baldavavada Hu Gavrahu. This guy is the enemy of this guy, meaning referenced to himself. My boy, Yisachar, what are you doing here? Kum, puk, get up and get out. So Amaleisa Bar Kamsa said to him, as everyone's here by the party, he says, look, hoyo v'asoy, since I came already, shavkan, leave me. I'll pay you for the money of whatever I'm going to eat and whatever I'm going to drink. Now the Gemara continues the top of Nanvav and Aleph, Amalei. So this guy said to him, Loi, no, I'm not letting you stay here. So Amalei, so Bar Kamsa said to him, look, you know what? I'll pay you half what this party is costing you. I'll pay for half the expenses. Amalei, Loi, he said, no. Amalei said to him, you have nilach demei kulis udasech. Bar Kamsa said, look, I'll pay the entire expense of the whole party, just let me stay. Amalei, Loi, this person said, no. Nakte biyade, he picked him up by the hand. V'ukmei stood him up. V'afke, and he sent him out. So Amasa Bar Kamsa said, Hayil v'hava yasvi rabbanan. Since all the rabbis were sitting around, v'loi michu bei, no one protested about what was going on. Shema mino konichaluhu. Obviously, you could infer that they were okay with this, what he did. And obviously, they saw me being embarrassed and they didn't protest. Ezel echel b'hu kurtza. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go slander them. The reason why this is called echel b'hu kurtza, which literally means eating this kurtzen, which actually the Aramaic translation of loiselich rachel, which is the prohibition of saying slander, is loitechel kurtzen. Don't eat kurtzen. Which Rashi says that's because it was customary from the gossip mongers that they would eat a small like snack called kurtzen in the place where they would be saying slander, which is a type of a sign to say, you know, what we were, and this is also the word kurtzen is related to karetz ba'inav, which is winking with the eyes. It was like a sign that it's true, the Lashon Hara, as a way of confirming what he had been suspecting about that person. So he said, let me go ahead and slander them, be malka, by the king, and cause problems with the Jewish people. So also Amalei l'Kesar, so he came to the Caesar, who that was the leader of the Romans, Mardubach Yehudai, the Jews have rebelled against you. Amalei, mi yemes, so the Caesar says, who said? Amalei says, look, I'll prove it to you. Shadulahu korbana, send them a sacrifice that they should bring on their mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, which we know the Jewish law says, it says ish, which the redundancy said comes to include even a non-Jew can bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash if it's a neder or a nedava that's a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. And chazis ima kravenle, and see if they're going to sacrifice it. You'll see. They're not going to, and you'll see because they rebelled against you. Now, azel shadu biyode eglatilsa. So the Caesar sent, as Taisa says, a very healthy and robust type of a calf, a really fatty carbon. Now, bahadi de ka'asi, as Bar Kamsa was coming and bringing that from the Caesar to the Beis HaMikdash, shadu be muma benivsa basayim. So he caused a blemish in the upper lip of the calf. Some say what he did actually was Badukan Shiba Ayin. He caused that there should be a cataract in the eye of the calf. Which Duchta, that's in a place, either in the upper lip or as a cataract, Dil Didan have a mumma. For us, to bring such an animal in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon is considered a blemish, but Validitu lav mumahu. But for them, which is if they want to bring a carbon to Hashem in their own altars, that's not considered a bummer for them, only if it's missing a limb. That they consider a blemish. But for just having a blemish on the upper lip or a cataract in the eye, they don't consider that a blemish. Now, Savra Banna Likruve. So the rabbis thought, let's sacrifice it, even though it has a blemish, Mishum Shalom Malchus, because of peace for the government. Because if we don't bring it, because we're not allowed to, then that's going to cause them to think, oh, why aren't you doing that? And he's not going to take the argument that it's a blemish because they don't consider that a blemish. So Amalu Reb Zechariah ben Avkulis, so Reb Zechariah ben Avkulis said to the Rabbanan, says, what do you mean? How can we do that? People are going to say that you could bring blemished animals as a carbon on the Mizbech, which is not true. So they thought, okay, let's kill Bar Kamsa because he's causing all these problems. That he shouldn't go back and tell the king what happened. So again, Reb Zechariah said to them, people are going to say, people are going to think that the reason why we're killing him is because he blemished the animal which is supposed to be a carbon and he violated the law of Mumlo Yeboi. And that's why we killed him. But that's not true. We don't kill somebody for putting in a blemish. And if we do that, people are going to think that. Now, Rabbi Yechonen commented. He says, the humility, the tolerance that Rabbi Zechariah had were to sustain Bar Kamsa and not to kill him, because he was saying that, no, we can't do that because people are going to think that because blemishing causes someone to be killed, Hachreve es beitenu caused that the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Vesarfa es echaleinu, and it burnt down our sanctuary. Veglisanu maratzeinu, and that made us go into exile from our land, because he could have just killed him and the whole thing would have been avoided. But the whole thing started because Bar Kamsa went and slandered what was going on, and if we would have killed him and not tolerated him, we would have avoided the whole thing. So shod de ilovayu lenirin keser. So he sent on them this Nirin Kaiser, who was the Caesar Nirin, to go ahead and now conquer Yerushalayim, because it's true that the Jews are rebelling, they're not bringing the carbon. Now Kika Asi, when he came, shot the Gira. So he shot an arrow as a way of divination to see when he was near Yerushalayim, to see where the arrow is going to go. He wanted to see a sign from heaven about what is it that's going on over here. Why is Hashem letting that his Jewish people should be destroyed? When he shot the arrow lemizrach to the east, asa nafal b'Yerushalayim, it fell in Jerusalem. Lamar, when he shot it to the west, asa nafal b'Yerushalayim, it fell in Yerushalayim. La'abaruch hazishamayim, when he shot it to all four different directions in the sky, asa nafal b'Yerushalayim, it came and fell in Yerushalayim. So definitely something's going on over here where the signs are all pointing about the arrows coming to destroy Yerushalayim. Amalei liyinukas, he said to a Jewish child, he said, psoikli psukech, which is also a way of divination, of figuring out that as if there's a sign from Shemayim, what's the pasuk that you're learning now? So Amalei, they said to him, a pasuk in Yechezkel, the Nasati es nikmasi be'edom. Hashem says, I will put my revenge in Edom, which is Rome, biyad ami Yisrael v'gaymer, through my Jewish people. So Amar, so Nirin Kaiser said, kutra b'richu boi l'chru v'beisi. It's obvious HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy his Beis HaMikdash, his house. And he wants to then wipe his hands on that person, because you see from that pasuk that Hashem is going to punish and take revenge on the Edom for destroying Klal Yisrael. So Arak va'azel, so he fled and he went v'igayr, and he converted to Judaism. V'nafik b'nei Remeir, and Remeir the great Tana came out of Nirin Kaiser. So the Gemara continues. So Shadri levayu l'Aspasionis Kaiser. So now they send someone else to go fight against the Jewish people, which was Aspasionis Kaiser, which Kaiser is that's the Caesar who's ultimately, as we'll see in the Gemara, was going to become the Caesar. So Asi came Tsara Lod Plashani. So he laid siege to Yerushalayim for 3 years. Havabahani Tlasatu. There were these three wealthy individuals in Yerushalayim at that time: Nakdiman Ben Gurion, Umin Kalbas Sabua, and Ben Tzitzis HaKessis. So the Gemara explains why they had these names. Nakdiman Ben Gurion is because the word Nakdiman is Shenok Doloi Chama Bavuri, that the sun pierced the clouds because of him, which is a story brought in the Gemara Masechtas Tainis Daf Chof Mem Aleph, that actually, although the sun had already passed, but just so that he shouldn't have to pay up a certain debt, because he did that for the benefit of the Jewish people, the sun came back out again. So that's what Nok is, that piercing. It pierced the clouds, and it was shown again. Minkaba Savua, why was he called that? Shekala Nichnis Labesik, Kishurov Kikelev, because anyone that would come into his house hungry like a dog, Ben Kalba, Yitzu Kishu Soveya, would go out satiated, that's Kalba Savua. And Ben Tzitzis HaKessis, the third wealthy person, Shahisa Tzitzase, because his tzitzis strings that were hanging from his cloak, from his talus, Nigreris Algabi Kisases, would be dragged on top of this fine cloth. In other words, it wouldn't go on the floor. That's how wealthy he was, that it would have these cloth going under him, that his tzitzis would drag on that and not on the floor. Igadami, that those that say that actually his name was Ben Tzitzis. And why was it called Hakeses? Shahisa Kiste, because from the word of Kiste, because his cheer was Mutelis Ben Gedeli Rami, was placed amongst the great people. When he would go to Rome, so he would sit in the presence of the Caesar between all the nobility. That's what's called Hakeses, the one of the cheer. So the Gemara tells us that at the time of the siege, Chad Amalahu, one of these wealthy people, said to them, Ano zayni lahu b'chidi b'sari, I will support all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem with wheat and barley. Chad Amalahu, another one, said to them, B'dechamu u'debilcha u'mishcha, that I'll support the city with wine, with salt, and with oil. Chad Amalahu once said to them, B'ditzayvi, I'll support firewood. Now, the rabbis actually praised the most the one that was offering the firewood. Because the Rav Chisda, like we see by Rav Chisda, all the keys that he had to his storehouses, he would give over to his attendant, except for the one for the firewood. Because the Amr Rav Chisda, like Rav Chisda said, for one storehouse of wheat, You need to have 60 storehouses of firewood, and that's something that's so integral and necessary, and you need such a great quantity it's necessary. So the one that's going to be supporting the firewood is really the one that's giving the greatest thing, necessity for the people of Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara tells us that Havlahu, these three wealthy people, had enough wheat and barley and oil and firewood, lamezin, to support all the people of the city for Esther Mechad Shata for 21 years. Now, but the problem was, Havabuhu Hane Bar Yaini. They were these Bar Yaini, which Rashi says the word Bar Yaini is from the word Bar Yaini, which is Bar is empty. And these are people that wanted to fight and fight the Romans. Now, Amru Lahu Rabbanim, the rabbi said to these Bar Yaini that, Nipik Vinavich Lama Badai, let's go out and make peace with the Romans. Leshavkinu. The Bar Yaini didn't let. Amr Luhu, the Bar Yaini, said to the sages, Nefik Venadi Karva Badai, let's go out and fight war with them. We're going to win. Amr Luhu Rabbanan, the rabbi, said to them, Loi Mistayei Milsa. It's not going to work. We're not going to be able to win the Romans. Kamu, so what the Bar Yaini got up, Kalinu Lahanu Amvare Dechiti Besari, they went and they burnt up all the storehouses that had all the grain and the wheat and the barley and the firewood, so that the Jews will have no choice, because they're going to die from hunger and they're going to have to fight. And that caused to be a hunger in Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara tells us what ended up happening, that there was such a hunger that even the wealthy people were struggling. Marta Bas Paisis, this name of the woman, the Marta, the daughter of Paisis, Atirtad Yerushalayim Havi, she was from the wealthy women of Yerushalayim. Shadarta Lishluch of Armelis, so she sent out her messenger, and she said to him, look, Zil Aishlis Mida, go out and bring me fine flour. Ada'aza, by the time the Shleich got there, is davening was sold. Again, as we said, that there was a hunger when all these storehouses were burned down. Asa Amalos, they came and he told her, Smidaleka, there's no more fine flour. But Chivarteika, there is white flour, which is clean flour. Amrlay, so she said to him, okay, Zil Aisli, go ahead and bring that to me. Now, Ada'aza, by the time he got there, is davening, that was already sold. So Asa Amalos, he came back and he told her, look, Chivarteika, there's no more white flour. But Gushkarika, there is coarse flour. So this coarse bread, so Amrulay, so she said to him, okay, Zil Aisli, go ahead and bring me that. Ada Azal, by the time he went, is Davin, that was already sold. Asav Amrulay came and he told her, look, Gushkur Laka, there's no more coarse bread, but Kimcha Desari, there is barley flour. So Amrulay, she said to him, Zil Aisli, go ahead and bring that to me. Ada Azal is Davin, by the time he went there, it was already sold. Now the Gemara tells us, have a Shlifa Mesa'ana, she wasn't wearing shoes at that moment. Amr, she said, look, I'm going to go out and see what's going on. If I could find something to eat. Now, Esav lo parta bikara. So when she stepped out and she wasn't wearing shoes, there was some animal dung that got stuck onto her heel. Umesa, and she died because she was such a delicate woman. She was an istinus, so fine. When she had this dung touch her foot, she was so disgusted and nauseated that she actually died from that. So, regarding this, Rabbi Yechim Zakeh recited the pasuk in Devarim that talks about the Teicha, the great punishment that's going to befall the Jewish people. It says, Haraka b'cha v'anuga, the delicate ones and the pampered ones amongst you, asher lo nisasa kaf ragla, that she's not even used to having the sole of her foot touch the ground, and here she goes, she walks out and she dies from that. Now, Igadami, those actually say, Gregor's Reb Tzadik Achla. What ended up happening to her was that she ate from the dried figs of Reb Tzadik, from those that Reb Tzadik had left over, where he sucked out the juice of these figs, and she found those figs, and she was so starving and so hungry that she ate those figs, this Nisa, and she was so nauseated because there was the smell of the illness that Reb Tzadik had that went into those dried figs that he ate. She tasted that umesa, and she died because of her being so delicate of tasting that nauseating smell. As the Gemara tells us, the Reb Tzadik Yosef Arboin Shnin B'Tanisa Dolei Lechav Yerushalayim, because Reb Tzadik had fasted 40 years that Yerushalayim should not be destroyed. Now, Ki Abba Ochel Midi, when he would eat anything, Havi Mischazi, it would be visible in his throat, Mavroi, from the outside, because he was so thin. Now, V'chi Havi Bari, when he finished his fasting and he wanted to heal himself, Maisele Gregris, so they would bring him these dried figs, because he couldn't swallow anything that was thick. Mayitz mayu, and he would suck out the juice. B'shadlo, and he would throw away that rest of the fig. And that's what she found, and that's what she ate. And because of his illness, of not eating normally for 40 years. She tasted that, and she got so nauseous, and that's how she died. Now, the Gemara tells us, when this Marta Bas Paisis was passing away, she took out all her gold and silver, Shadisi Bishuka, and she threw it out into the market, into the street. Amr, she said, Hi Lamai mi boili. What do I need this for? What's this gonna help me? I have no food. And here I am, nauseous and dying. She threw all her money out. That's what the Pasuk says, Nicheskel, Kaspam, their money, Bachutzis Yashlichu, they threw it out into the street. Now the Gemara goes back to what we were mentioning before regarding this struggle between, on the one hand, the Rabbanon and the Bar Yoni. So the Gemara tells us that Abba Sikra, that was his name, was Reish Bar Yoni de Yerushalayim. He was the head of these Bar Yoinim, these ruffians in Yerushalayim. Was Bar Achsid Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh Haba. He was the nephew. He was Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh's sister's son. So Shalach Leitz, Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh sent for him, and he said, Tobetzinu Legaboy, come in privately to me. So Asa he came. So Amalo Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh said to him, Ad Emas Avdisu Hachi. Until how long are you going to do this that you're not going to let us make peace with the Romans? You're going to make all the Jewish people die from hunger, from starvation, because here you guys burn down all the storehouses and you don't let us make peace. We're just going to die from hunger. So Amalei, so this Abba Sikra said to Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh, says, My Avid, what should I do? If I say anything to the rest of the Bar Yoinim, they're going to kill me. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh said to him, Chazili takanta ledidi de'epik. Find a way for me to that at least I can get out from the city. After the Hava Hatzalah Porta, maybe I'll be able to save and salvation a little bit of the Jewish people. So Abba Sikra said to him, Fine. Nokid nafshach biktziri. Present yourself to the people as if you're ill. Let the word get out that you're very sick. And let everybody come and check to do what's doing it for you as if you're someone that's on your deathbed. Now bring something that's spoiled, that's smelly, like a dead animal carcass. And keep it by you, keep it near your bed, that people should say, oh, he's dying, he's already starting to rot and deteriorate. They're going to say, denach nafshach. Then let the word get out that you passed away. Now, moreover, you should have that who's going to come to the foot of your bed to carry you should be only your students. Don't let anybody else help out to come and to carry you. And no one should realize that you're light. Because the Inu Yadik, because they know the Chaya Kol Mamisa, that a live person is lighter than a dead person. And so therefore, you're going to be very light, and we don't want anyone to realize that. So have only your students carry you. So Abar Hachi, so he did that. And Nichnas by Rabbi Eliezer Mitzad Echad, he had Rabbi Eliezer carrying his bed on one side, Rabbi Yeshua Mitzad Acher, and the student Rabbi Yeshua on the other side. Kimot L'Pischavu, when they came to the entryway of the city to get out of the wall, So the Bar Yoni, who was guarding the walls, they wanted Lemidkere, they wanted to pierce him with spears to see, maybe it's a trick, maybe it's a joke, and they're trying just to get out, and they'll pierce him and they'll kill him to make sure that he's really dead. So Amal Husa, Abba Sikra said to the Bar Yoinim, Yemru, the Romans are going to say regarding you, the Bar Yoni, Rabban Dakru, that you're piercing your leaders, your masters? So Boyu Lemidkere, so they wanted at least push him a little bit to see, maybe he's going to scream. So Amalhu again, Abba Sikra said to them, Yemru, they're going to say, Rabban Dakru, you're pushing your master that's dead? So Paschali Bava, so they opened up the door for Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh, who was giving the appearance that he was dead, and Nafik, and he went out. Now, Kimat al-Hasim, when he came to the Romans' camp, Amar, he said to Aspasianus, Shalmalach Malka, peace unto you, the king, Shalmalach Malka, peace unto you, the king. So Amalis Aspasianus said to Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh, Mechaivis Treketala, you're liable to be killed twice. Chada, first of all, Dalav Malkana. I'm not the king, and you're making a mockery out of me. But Kakarasli Malka, because you're calling me the king. Vesu Moro, but Imalkana, if I am the king, Ade Idna, my loy Isi Ligaboy, then why up until now? Didn't you come to greet me? So Amalis Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh said to him, Tika Amrit Lav Malkana, regarding this that you said you're not the king, so that as the Gemara continues, Tamad Beis, Ivra Malkat, the truth is that you are the king, meaning you will ultimately be the king. Di Lav Malkat, because if you're not the king, Le'mimsa Yerushalayim Biyatcha, the city of Yerushalayim would not be given over into your hands. You wouldn't be able to conquer it. Like it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'halavonin, and Levonin ba'adur yipul, will fall in the hands of the mighty. Now, V'ein adur elamelech. Adur, the mighty one, is a reference to the king. Like it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says, V'hoya adiroi, that his mighty one was mimena from him. V'goyim etc., where the Pasuk continues and says, umayshloi, and that his ruler, mikir b'yetzel, will go out from within him. So we see that the adar of the parallel of the pasuk is a reference to a ruler, which that's a reference to the king. Now, ve'ein levanin ela beis hamikdash. When it's saying that levanin will fall in the hands of an adar, and we're saying adar is a king, what's levanin? That's a reference to the beis hamikdash. And the reason for that is because the beis hamikdash was malbin, it whitened the sins of the Jewish people. That's what's called levanin from the word of lavan. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Devarim, it says ha'har ha'toyv hazeh, this good mountain, a reference to the mountain that the Har HaBayis is, v'ha'levanin, and levanin, which is the beis hamikdash that's built on that. So therefore you see from that pasuk that beis hamikdash is only given over to a king, and if you're conquering Yerushalayim, which it seems like you must be, that you're going to be the king. Now, udika amri malka, now regarding your second claim, that you said that if I am the king, amayla ka'osis l'gaboy ad'idna, then why didn't you come to me up until now? So he says, bayyani de'isban le'shafkina, we have these ruffians in our city that didn't let us. So amalei, so he said to him, ilu chavish al devash. So Aspasian said to him that, let's say there's, he gave him a mashal. He said, imagine a barrel of honey. The darkened karachalem, there's a snake that's wrapped around, tightly chasing after that barrel around the honey. Loha yeshoibin es achabes b'shvil darken, wouldn't they break the barrel because of the snake? In other words, so that the snake doesn't have anything to hold on to it anymore, and then the snake would go out. So too, he's saying, you should have done the same thing. You should have destroyed the walls of the city and had it go up in smoke, so that now the Bayani will have nothing to hold on to, and he would just be able to chase out the Bayani, and we would be able to come in, and you'd be able to do and make peace with us. So Ishtik, so Rabbi Yechem Zag was silent. He didn't respond to that. Now, currently Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said regarding this incident, V'item, and some say it was Rabbi Kiva, quoting a pasuk in Yeshaya, Meshiv Chachamim Acher. He makes the say that the wise ones go backwards, the Dait Misachel, and that their intelligence, he makes them foolish. Why? Because Rabbi Yechem Zag should have responded to that claim of Aspasianus, Shaklinan Tzavsa. No, we would take tongs, we would take some type of tweezers, the shaklin lil darken, and would take off the snake from the barrel, the katlinle, and we would kill the snake, the chavita shavkinla, and would be able to keep the barrel intact. In other words, so too, we were anticipating and hoping that maybe we'd be able to overpower these bayonim and get them out, and we could maintain the city whole and not destroy the city and still make peace with you. So instead of destroying the walls and then destroying the whole city, and that's how we get rid of the snake, the Bayanim. We were hoping to get rid of the snake and maintain the barrel. But he didn't respond that because, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, that sometimes Hashem causes that the wise people lose their ability for intelligent response. Now, the Gemara continues, Adahachi, in the meantime, Asa Pristaka Alei Meraimi. There was a shliach, a messenger came to the Roman camp that was laying siege to Yerushalayim, that came from Rome. Amalei, so the messenger said to Aspasianus, Kum, get up. The mislay case, because the Caesar has died. The Amr Hanu Chashiv de Reimen, the noblemen of Rome, have said, Loisivich Bereisha, to make you the head, the new Caesar. Just like Rabbi Yechem Zakeh had said. Now, Havasayim Chad Mesayne, he had already put on one shoe. Boyle Mesayim Alachwine. Now, after he heard this news, he wanted to put on the other shoe. Loyal, it wasn't going on. So boyle mishav le'idach, so he couldn't put on the other shoe, so he tried taking off the shoe that he already put on, le'inafik, it wasn't coming off. Now the reason for this was because his limbs actually had expanded because of the joy, because that's actually what happens when you have joy, everything expands because of the good news that he's going to be the king. So Amar Mahai, so he said to Rabbi Yechem Zakeh, what's going on over here? So Amalei Rabbi Yechem Zakeh said to him, le'itzitzar, don't worry, don't be in pain. Shmu tov aslach. You got some good tidings. The Chassid, like it says, a pasuk in Mishlei, Shmu Taibo, good tidings, Tadash and Etzim. It expands the bone. Elamaita Kante, rather, what should you do? Leisi Inish Dele Miyas V'Daitachmene. Bring a person that you're not so at peace with, that you don't really like that much. V'lechlef Kamach, and have him pass in front of you. The Chassid, because like it says, the pasuk in Mishlei, it says, V'ruach Necheya, and that a bitter spirit, the Yabish Garb, actually dries up a bone. So when you're going to have this person that you hate that's going to pass in front of you, so then your bone actually will then go back to the size it was before. Avad Hachi, he did this. And Ayel, he was able to get the other shoe on. So Amalei, so he said to him, U'me'achad dechak minsu kule hai. If you're Rabbi Yechem Zakeh, if you're so smart, sa'ad ne'idna ma'loy asis legaboy, then why up until then didn't you come to me? So Amalei, Rabbi Yechem Zakeh said to him, B'loy amrilach, didn't I tell you? Because the Bar-Yani didn't let us. So Amalei, so he said back to him, Anoa nami amrilach, I also said to you, you should have broke the barrel, and then we would have been able to come in and make peace with you. So Amalei, so Aspasianus said to him, Mezel Azilna, look, I'm the king now, I'm going to leave now. Vena Shachrina Meshadrona, now I'm going to send somebody else to be the general to wage war against you. But ask one thing of me, ask me what you want, and I'm going to give to you. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, Tenli Yavne, give me the city of Yavne that you're not going to destroy it. The Chachamera and the sages in Yavne, that you're not going to kill the sages. The Shashilta of Rabbi Gamliel and the dynasty of the family of Rabbi Gamliel, that's the family of the Nasi, that you shouldn't kill them so that the dynasty of Malchus based David from the Davidic dynasty should not be killed out. And Vasvasa, and from the doctors that you have over here amongst your men, Demasin Leib Tzadik, that Shehil Reb Tzadik, again, as we mentioned before, because he couldn't swallow any food because his intestines had already shrunk from 40 years of fasting. So, Karel Rabbi Yosef, again, Rabbi Yosef said regarding this incident, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Beitem, and some say Rabbi Akiva, that same pasuk, Meshav Chacham Acher, he makes that the wise go back, Vitaitim Misachel, and their intelligence become foolish, because he poit lememele. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai should have said to him, Leshavkinu Hadazim, leave us alone this one time, meaning don't besiege us. Go back and take your whole army back with you. If he would have asked him, he said you could ask one. He could ask something. He should have gotten away, and the Beis Hamikdash wouldn't have been destroyed. But the Gemara tells us, Bavahu Rabbi Yochanan Saba, he thought that no, Dilmakulihai, maybe that much to leave Yerushalayim loyavid, he wouldn't be agreeable to do that. And Batzala Purtanamalehav, and then he wouldn't be able to even save a little bit. So therefore, he thought to himself, look, let me ask a little bit. At least I know for sure I'll be able to salvage something. Sasvasa demasin of Reb Tzadik. So the Gemara says and clarifies this doctor that healed Reb Tzadik, Mahi. What was this? What did they do? So Yemakama Ashkiyu Amai Depari. The first day they gave him to drink the water that had bran that soaked in it. Now, which is basically very liquidy, but it has some substance. Lamacher Mai Desipuka. The next day they gave him to drink water that had now not just bran soaking, thick bran, but also had some flour and thick bran that was mixed into that water. The next day, water that had flour soaked in it, so again, a little bit more consistency. Until his stomach expanded and healed little by little, that's how they healed Reb Tzadik. So the Gemara returns and says, Azal Shadru Letitus Arasha. So Aspasianus went back, he was deceased, now he sent a new general, he sent the wicked Titus. Now, as the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Devarim, the pasuk says, V'omar, and he says, Ei Eloi Heime, where's their God? The rock that they always took refuge in. So the Gemara tells us that Titus of Russia. This is a reference to the wicked Titus. Shechirif v'gidiv klabimala, that he was blasphemous and he was disrespectful towards Hashem, saying, where's their God, the rock that they always protect themselves with? Look what I'm doing to the Jewish people. Ma'aso, what did he do? What was this that he was macharif and megadiv? Tafes zayin b'yadeh. He took a harlot in his hand. V'nichnas lebeis kachay akachim. He went to the holiest of the holies in the Beis HaMikdash. V'etziah Sefer Torah, and he spread out a Torah scroll. V'avar olah aver, and he committed a sin on the Sefer Torah in the kachay akachim. V'notal saif, he took a sword. V'gidres ha-pareches, and he cut open the pareches, the curtain that was separated between the kachay akachim and the heichal. V'nasanes, and a miracle happened. V'hayidam mevatzav z'v'yaitze. Blood started bubbling out and coming out of the curtain. He thought, wow, I killed him, meaning a reference to heaven, as if he killed their God. Shanem, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim. Your foes are screaming, amongst your assembly, which the way it's interpreted over here, the word moyadecha is also from the word of vad, from your assembly place, from your house, meaning the Beis HaMikdash. And they make their signs as if they're signs, meaning that he said, whose blood is this, if not that I killed him, meaning reference to who's the leader of the Jewish people. Now, it's regarding this that Abba Chanan Omer, he says, quoting the pasuk in Tehillim, Micha Maicha, who is he like you, Hashem? Chasin ka, a strong God. What does that mean? Micha Maicha Chasin, who is like you, Chasin of someone that controls himself, holds himself back, bakasha, and is strong, you hear all the blasphemy and the words that are being hurled towards God, and you're quiet, you let him do his thing, and you don't respond. That's the greatest type of might. So to Debe Yishmol Tana, that from Apostolic and Shemais and the others of Yashur, that the Jewish people said, Micha Micha Ba'elam, who is like you amongst the mighty ones, Hashem? Where here the interpretation is also regarding Mighty, but reading it a little bit different, is Micha Meichel Be'ilmim. Who is like you amongst the mute ones? Where Hashem is silent, he lets the wicked do, and he holds himself back, where Hashem, of course, controls the world, and he can do whatever he wants, but that's the greatest might, where he lets them do the thing, and they think that, look, I'm destroying, Chas V'Shalom, their God. Now, Ma'asa, what did Titus do then? Not the Lesa Parechas, he took the curtain that was pretty large, the Asikimin Gargusni, he made it like a large sack, a large basket, which is used to pour the wine from the wine press into the wine pit. So he made it like a big sack. The heavy kalkelim shabbe migdash v'nichem, and they took all the vessels from the base of migdash and they put it in that new this sackcloth, which is not a sackcloth, which is the pareches. But he brought it onto a ship to take it back to glorify himself in his city to show, well, look what he did. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Koheles. It says, Ubuchain, and therefore Reisi Risham Kavurim. I saw wicked ones that should be buried. Vavo, and they came. Umimkaim Kadesh Yahalechu, and from a holy place they went. Vishtakhu Beir, and it will be forgotten in the city. Ashurkain also this that they had done, meaning this great might, which you see, will be forgotten. But the Gemara interprets it differently regarding this incident. Al Tikru Kavurim, don't read it buried ones, El Kavutzim, rather the gathered ones. Meaning, I see these people that are gathered, meaning Titus and his army, and that they went and they came from a holy place. And al tikru v'yishtachru, don't read that it was forgotten, ela v'yishtapchu, rather that they were praised, meaning that they went back and they glorified themselves with the spoils of war that they took from a holy place from the Beis HaMikdash. Now, ikadami, there are those that say, actually, kavur mamish. The reading is not kavutzim, but kavur mamish, literally buried, meaning in reference to this incident, because even things that were buried, the treasures of the Jewish people which were buried, that was revealed to them, and they took everything from the Jewish people, and they were mishtaber with all the spoils of war that they took from the Jewish people. So the Gemara continues the narrative and says, so when he was on the ship, so a great mighty storm came on Titus, Shebeyam, that was in the sea, Lutayvoy, to drown him. So Titus said, Kumidumani, I think, Shall Eloheim shall Elu ingvarasa elabemaim, that the God of these people, his might is only on the water. Because we know from history, Bo Pari, Tavabayam, Tavabemaim. Pari came with all his warriors and he had them drown at sea. Bo Sistra, Tavabemaim. Sistra came and he had them drown in the water, which was the incident by Nachal Kishon that had swallowed up all the army of Sistra. Safu Aimidalila Tavabemaim says, okay, this is his mighty place. This is the one place he has on the water. He wants to drown me in the water too. So he said, Imgibuhu, if it's really mighty, Yala lo yabasha, let him come onto dry land, V'yasa imi mochama, and let him fight with me on dry land. So Yatsa baskal v'amalei, so a heavenly voice rang out and said to Titus, Rasha ben Rasha, a wicked person, the son of a wicked person, ben benoichel Esav Rasha, a descendant from the wicked Esav, bury a kalal yeshli ba'ilame, I have a very insignificant light creature in my world, V'yitrushima, and its name is a gnat, like a type of a mosquito, Amai Karla Bari Kali, so the Gemara says, why is it called a light creature? Dima'alna Islay, because it has a place where to bring in, it has a mouth where it takes in food, but a mufkana, but a place where it releases its excrement, Lesla, it doesn't even have that. It's so tiny and insignificant that it doesn't even have a place where to let out its excrement. Now, Ola Yabasha, so Titus came out to dry land. So Hashem said, the Baskal said, Ali Yabasha, go to dry land, Batasima Muhammad, and do wage war with this gnat. Ali Yabasha, so when Titus came into dry land, Ba Yitush Menechnas Bachaytmai. So this gnat came and entered his nostril. Vinakurba Maiche Shevashan, it knocked away, banged away on his brain for 7 years. Now, Yaimachad one day, Havakacholov above the Bein Afka, he was passing by the entryway of a smith. Shamakol Arzafta. So he heard the noise of a hammer and Ishtik. The gnat was silent. It stopped banging away because it heard the banging of the hammer, so it stopped banging. So Amar Satita said, Ikatakanta, there's something to do for this gnat that's banging away in my brain. So Kol Yayma Maitsi Nafka. So every single day they would bring a smith to Titus Arasha. Umachu Kame, and they would bang in front of him, and therefore the gnat wasn't banging away in his brain. Lenachu Yavli Arbazuzi. For a non-Jewish smith, they would give him 4 zuz, li Yisrael, but for a Jewish smith, Amalei, he would tell him, Mistayech de kochazes besanach. It's enough for you that you see your enemy going through that much pain, I don't have to pay you any money. Now the Gemara tells us, Atlas and Yaim and Abed Hachi. For 30 days, this is what they did. But Mekame Elach, after 30 days, Kibin the Dash Dash, which is a term that says, once it was threshed, meaning once you get used to something, it doesn't make an impact anymore. So from the fact that the gnat was used to this, he already heard the voice of the hammer and he recognized it, so that didn't stop him anymore, and he continued banging away on Titus' brain. So the Gemara tells us, Tanya learned the Braisa, Amr Pinchas ben Arova, he says, Ani ha-yisi ben g'dayli Rami, I was amongst the noblemen of Rome, ukeshameis, and when Titus died, patzu es moiche, they broke open his skull, his brain, umatzu by kitzipur dror, they found this gnat the size of a swallow, mishkol shnei slam, which was the weight of two slam, huge, heavy, it looked like a huge, heavy bird. But masnititan, in the Braisa we learned, it was kagoyz lebenshan, it was like a one-year-old pigeon, Mishkol Shnei Litrin, the weight of two litrin, a huge heavy chunk. Abaya says, Naktina, we have a tradition that actually Piv Shal Nachayshis, its mouth was of copper, but point of Shal Barzal and its nails was like of iron. That's what was inside his head, chopping away at his brain. So the Gemara tells that Kiavu Kamayas, when Titus was dying, Amalahu, he said to the people, Likla Yuhu Lahu Gavra, I want you to burn that person, meaning to burn his remains. For Levadri Likitmi Hashem Yameh, and you should spread his ashes amongst the seven seas. Dulailishkeche Elohod Yudai, that the God of the Jews should not find him, meaning himself, but look Mabedina and bring him to justice for what he did to the Jewish people by destroying the Beis Hamikdash and killing all the Jews. Now, related to this, the Gemara tells us that Unkelis Bar Clonicus, he was Bar Achte de Titus. He was a nephew of Titus. Havaboy Ligir, he wanted to convert to Judaism. Ozel Askele Titus ben Gidinah, so he brought up the spirit of Titus through this type of what's called oiv, in which is a certain type of a witchcraft, that he was able to bring up the spirit of Titus. So Amalei said to him, Man chashabahu alma, who's respected in that world which you already passed on from this world already? So Amalei Yisraeli says, it's the Jewish people. So he says, Marle dvukei bahu, says, so what do you think about attaching, clinging to them, meaning regarding my conversion? So Amalei, so he said to his nephew, Milai nefishin, They have many different halachas. There's a lot of things, a lot of words that they have. But like matzisa lekamunah, you're not going to be able to fulfill all the halachas. Rather, you know what I'll tell you? Zil igru bahu bahu alma. Go contend with them, fight with them in this world. V'havas reisha, and then you'll be a great leader, a great person. The chassid, like it says the pasuk in Eicha, hayutzareha l'reish begaimer, that all her foes were on the head, meaning whoever contends with the Jewish people becomes a great person, becomes a leader. Those are the people that Hashem orchestrates. So therefore, instead of becoming a Jew, which is too hard, fight with the Jews, and then you'll become a great person. So Amalei, so his nephew said to him, Dine dehu gavra b'mai. The judgment of that person, meaning you, what are they judging you with now that you're in the next world? So Amalei, so he said to him, as we continue on top of Nazayin Manalf, b'mai de pasik anafshi, this that he himself judged himself, meaning, this that I said that they should burn my ashes and spread it out amongst the seven seas, that's exactly what they do to me, what I myself judge myself in that world. Because kol yema machanshi le likitmi, every single day they gather his ashes, meaning myself, v'dainule and they judge him, v'kolule and they burn him, u'mevadra hashev yam, and then they again, after they burn, they spread him again amongst the seven seas. That's the punishment I have to go through every single day. So, also aski le Bilam b'negida. Now, Unkelis went on to the next one. He brought up Bilam with this oiv, with this type of witchcraft. He brought his spirit. Amalei said to him, Man chashabahu alma, who's respected in that world? Amalei Yisrael, says, the Jewish people. He says, Ma'olid v'kebahu, what do you think about clinging to them? So Amalei, he quoted him a pasuk in Devarim, which paradoxically was telling the Jewish people regarding the people of Mayav, like Tidr Shleimah Mutayvasim, you shouldn't seek their peace and their good. Kala yamim all the days. So Bilam was paraphrasing that pasuk and actually using it to tell him not to cling to the Jewish people. So Amalei, so he said to Bilam, Dine dehu gavra b'mai. How are they judging that person? Meaning, what's your judgment in the next world? Amalei b'shichva zeri sachis. He says, I have to be in boiling hot semen. And that's what's called midah keneged midah, because it was his counsel that caused the Jewish people to act immorally with the daughters of Mayav. And because of that, with all that semen, shichva zera, he was getting burnt in boiling hot semen in that world. So azal aske b'negidah l'peish Yisrael. The next one that Unkelis went, he brought up the spirit of the sinner of the Jewish people, which it's brought that before they were censored out, was a reference to Yeshu HaNatzri. So Amalei, so he said to Yeshu, Man chashabahu alma, who's respected in that world? Amalei Yisrael, it says the Jewish people. So he said, Ma'olad v'kebahu, what do you think about clinging to them? Amalei said to him, Tevasim Dresh, you should seek their good. Ra'asim Leitidrish, don't seek their evil. Kalan Negebehem, because whoever touches the Jewish people, Ki'ilu Negeb Bevavas Enes, like he's touching the pupil of Hashem's eye, so to speak. So Amalei said to him, Dine Dehu Gavu B'mai, what are you, Yeshu, what's your judgment in the next world? Amalei Bitsaya Reisachas, it's with hot burning feces. The Amamar, because as the Gemara tells in Erevin Chafal of Mabez, whoever mocks the words of the sages, nidin b'tzayr v'sachas, gets judged in boiling hot excrement, and that's what Yeshua had done to the Jewish people, thus causing a whole different stream, because he mocked, so his punishment is with b'tzayr v'sachas. So the Gemara tells, tochazi, come and see. Ma ben poishi Yisrael l'nevi umis ha'olam ovdei avodah zarah. What the difference is between the sins of the Jewish people, who they're the lowest of the Jewish people, and regarding the greatest of the nations, their prophets, who serve idols, where at least the honesty that there is from Yeshua in the next world, because at least he's a Jew, but he was a sinner, he says the truth, and he says, yes, cling to the Jewish people, that's the real good. Whereas Bilam, who had the divine presence revealed on him, and still he was wicked, and he's saying, no, don't go ahead and attach yourself to the Jewish people. So the Gemara concludes from this discussion. Tanya learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar says, go and see how great is the power of embarrassment. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supported and helped and assisted Bar Kamtza, who was embarrassed, and that he allowed his Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed and the sanctuary to be burnt down because someone that's embarrassed has so much power. And that's why someone that gets embarrassed has so much bracha in him. But we see that that can be used for the bad, where he was embarrassed, and because of them, he decided he's going to cause destruction to Jewish people. Hashem allowed him. Here we see the greatness, the strength of what the consequences of someone being embarrassed, that it caused the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Again, with this incident, the first of the three incidents that we said of Asher Ad Mafachet Tomei, that person has to think through the consequences, which was the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, where Bar Kamtza was embarrassed, thus causing that whole story to unfold, thus ending in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.